I'm standing on the street outside the central Stockholm headquarters of online music streaming service, Spotify. It's a fairly nondescript grey building, if not a little understated for one of the most hyped digital startups of the last decade. There's a sheet of paper tacked to the door at street level bearing the company's distinctive green insignia. Let's go inside. We are now on the fifth floor where I meet Spotify spokesman Tom Noble, a genial half-Brit, half-Swede who gives me a detailed tour of the four floors of office space, the nerve centre of Spotify's global campaign. The office has the sort of frisky get-up you would expect of a cutting-edge startup, but without the brazenness from your Googles, Facebooks and Twitters. There's the mandatory video gaming room. I'm told that CEO and founder Daniel Ek, or Dan as he's known around here, is the reigning FIFA champion. And there's the pinball machine branded by one of Spotify's loudest supporters, Metallica. We pass through the lunchroom where fridges are stacked with pre-prepared sandwiches, pastas, salads and energy drinks, and a wall of Electrolux microwaves, a reliable Swedish company. Reliability is at the core of the controversy surrounding Spotify. Can it be as good for musicians as it is for consumers? In short, can Spotify be trusted? Jonathan Forster is Spotify's general manager for Europe, and was one of the company's very first draft picks 7 years ago.
It's been fascinating. I think we've got to be really careful, though, about not overstating our effect on the music industry. At the same time, we've got to puff out our chests and not be too Swedish. We've got over 1,000 people working on a digital music problem. That's probably more than anybody else in the whole world. We've got to have self-belief. It's a challenge. We don't have the answer to it, but it's never been that easy for artists. I think there's a myth. It's that we often say in the startup world, the best entrepreneurs are the ones that didn't give up.
Self-belief is at the epicenter of Spotify's philosophy, a sort of quiet resolve that while they may be attempting to move mountains, it's all in a 12-hour day's work. First conceived in 2006 by Daniel Ek, then in his early 20s and already a Ferrari-owning self-made multimillionaire, it took 2 years to convince the world's few remaining major record labels that giving their music away for free was a viable business plan. Too many, the sums still don't add up, including David Byrne of Talking Heads, who recently voiced his concerns in the UK's Guardian newspaper. Byrne claims that streaming may help counter piracy, but it will inevitably spell disaster for songwriters and musicians by taking away their income from physical album sales and legal downloads.
Dan's bet was, you know, looking at the way that people are consuming media, looking at the fact that our government's really going to throw people off the internet when it's being used to provision so many services, and looking at the size of the ad industry. Look at what Google had done. We've seen Facebook do it since. If you can monetize the pirate listening with advertising, it would be bigger than the music industry. He felt that it was a matter of time.
Rake Hertel is the founder of Berlin's Kiddio Records and has experienced international success with artists such as Peaches, Gonzalez and Maximilian Hecker. Having lived through two decades of upheaval in the music business, Rake says that there are still many questions surrounding Spotify's business model, but it is still a welcome addition to a troubled market.
Actually, streaming is not such a new service to me, because like services like Napster and other services did actually exactly the same, except you as a label or as an artist didn't get paid. The good innovation is that now you get paid. The artists and the labels, we still don't get paid as much as we should get paid and as much Spotify and the other services could pay. But the service itself is great, because it's a great chance for independent music especially to survive, to get known, to make money with it. I think we all just have to negotiate the payment models.
Spotify is now available in 32 countries, including Germany, and currently claims 24 million active users. It monetizes streaming through advertisements that are played between songs and through its paid premium service. While most wouldn't argue that streaming is inevitable, many, such as Radiohead's Thom Yorke, lament that it has cannibalized what was left of the physical market. That market includes iTunes, where many artists were finally enjoying modest financial returns after the decade of instability that came in the wake of Napster's launch in 1999. On the flip side, Spotify has been widely credited with resuscitating the Swedish recorded music market, which was decimated by piracy. The company now accounts for 75% of royalties in Sweden and had paid out $1 billion globally by the close of 2013. Still, if one thing is certain, it's that the future remains remarkably unclear.
The ultimate answer to the question is Spotify working at scale. The more people we have using the product, the more the numbers add up. And our business model is designed to work at scale. You know, we're making investments to support a company that has tens, hundreds of millions of users all over the globe, not just to be a very profitable, loved by the industry Swedish music streaming service.
Whether cause for alarm or surprise, the recorded music industry is nonetheless undergoing a drastic makeover. It'll be some time before we know for certain how this fairy tale will end, but it's certain to be a dramatic climax. I'm Julian Tomkin for DW in Stockholm.